In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening. I hope you had a good day. I'm Pastor Steph, and welcome to Women of Worth. And if this is your first time joining us, you're in the right place, because as Women of Worth, our mission is to teach, encourage, and empower one another to be the virtuous women that God has called us to be by providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where you can learn and grow. And we hope that your life will be enriched by this program, because our goal at My Church Virtual Ministries is to offer an array of faith-based programming that ministers to the entire body of Christ, such as the Leadership Academy, the Man Cave, Women of Worth, Marriage Seer Training, Medicine for the Mind, the Heart of the Pastor, Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, and The Enjoyable Life with Pastors Russell and Vita Cash, and Revival Now TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. So you can find the My Church channel on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV, or simply download the My Church on the Go app on your favorite mobile device, or from the Apple or Google Play App Store. So, I encourage you all to share this broadcast with everyone you know. Now, with all of that being said, let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we love you, and we praise you for who you are. Well, Lord, I just pray that today has gone well for all the women that are with Women of Worth. And Lord, I pray that at this time they are together, either in a small group or, you know, just in their own rooms with a notebook and a pen, God, to be ready to just take what the Lord has placed upon my heart to provide tonight. Lord, I'm excited. Lord, I thank you for every woman out there that are mothers, those that are soon to be mamas, those that desire to be moms, and Lord God, those who have acted as surrogate mothers to many. And Lord, we just give you praise for their natural design of how you created us to be. And with all that being said, Lord, I love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So tonight is a very special Mother's Day edition of Women of Worth. And tonight's conversation is deeply personal, incredibly powerful, and honestly, it's just long overdue, because many women carry silent wounds, some from childhood, some from relationships, some from abandonment, rejection, abuse, betrayal, disappointment, and years of trying to appear strong while secretly feeling broken on the inside. Y'all know we're good at that. So joining me tonight, right here, is my husband, Pastor Lewis L. Tucker Jr., affectionately known as Pastor Tuck, to discuss the newly released 17th anniversary audio edition of his life-changing book, Damaged Goods, The Restoring Power of the Father's Love, now available through 11 Labs or other major audiobook platforms. Now, this book was originally released on Mother's Day weekend in 2009 and was inspired by a Mother's Day message Pastor Tuck preached for the previous year, his personal and pastoral experiences. And yes, our own healing journey early in marriage. After I had to confront and heal from childhood abuse and emotional wounds. So, Pastor Tuck, welcome to Women of Worth.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Blessed to be here. Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
And first, let me say early happy Mother's Day to every mother, every grandmother, every spiritual mother, every woman who has loved, nurtured, and sacrificed and survived. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I believe this message is more relevant now than it was 17 years ago, because so many women are still silently struggling with identity, self-worth, and emotional wounds.
And, you know, I think that's why this book continues to resonate, because even though it's called Damaged Goods, it's really a book about restoration.
Exactly. I know a lot of women get offended, they get upset when they hear that term damaged goods, but the title reflects how many women secretly feel. They feel used, they feel broken, they feel discarded, they feel unworthy. But the subtitle is the real message. It's the restoring power of the Father's love. Mm-hmm. You know, this book is not about labeling women as damaged. It's about helping them understand that they never were meant to stay damaged.
Yeah.
You know, the psalmist declares in Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That means God specializes in restoration.
And, you know, one of the most emotional parts of the book is the introduction. You know, when you talk about hearing me sing for the first time. And I sang "The Battle's Not Yours," remember?
Yeah.
At Ebenezer AME Church in Roanoke, Virginia. And you wrote, "God, are you trusting me with that?" Talk about that moment, Pastor.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, I'll never forget it. You know, like I said, I say in the book, you know, I wasn't even truly saved, but even unsaved people, whether they recognize it or not, there's something in us. We were created in his image.
Yeah.
And so there's a part of you, even in your unredeemed state, that still is connected. It has God's DNA. Mm-hmm. And so you know the sound of heaven because that's where you came from. And so when you were singing that day, I heard heaven for the first time in my life. I heard something that sounded like God. The Bible talks about spirit knows spirit and flesh knows flesh.
Yeah.
There was something, you know, you don't know these terms back then because I wasn't even saved. So as people say, these are church terms. These are, you know, these are kingdom terms. These are things that I didn't know, but there was a quickening in my spirit that I didn't even know what it was, but I heard something. When you sang for the first time, it's funny, you know, you and I were even having this conversation even earlier this week, you know, as a pastor, even pastoring for over 23 years now, I still don't like what most people like as far as church stuff. I'm not a churchy guy. I didn't grow up in church like that. I went to church as a kid, but I wasn't churched. So church stuff still doesn't.
Traditional. It
doesn't fit me. Like I don't like what they call most people like is church music. A lot of people who are, you know, have grown up in that culture, in that thing, it's like you can put on anything that's got Jesus to it and got an organ in it and they will get behind it, and it turns me off. I don't even like it. Mm-hmm. And so when something is connected in the spirit, it connects with me. And so, and I use the illustration. It's like people who like soul food, they just like soul food. So if you give them some collard greens, you give them some macaroni and cheese, it doesn't have to be good. They like it because that's because of what it is. But for me, I don't even like that stuff. So if I eat it, it's gotta be amazing. Mm-hmm. It's got to be something supernatural. Somebody be like, you eating some macaroni and cheese? Oh, this is some different stuff right here. Exactly. And so when I eat something like that, you got to know that it's something unworldly for me to eat it. And so it's the same thing with things of the spirit. It's like when you hear me say something about a song, a gospel song or a worship song, it's something that's literally opening the doors of heaven because I don't even like that type of music, even as a pastor. So when I say something about it, it's something. And so that's what it was for me that day. And I didn't even know what it was at the time. It was something that touched my spirit because I would rather listen to secular music than listen to kingdom music that's not actually touching the heart of God. And so I guess that's the thing. I don't like playing in the things of God. So it was that day, like you said, when you were singing that song, I literally heard God. I heard heaven, and I'll never forget it. You know, we were just dating, even though I really wasn't walking with the Lord like I should have been at the time. I knew there was something special about you. And later on, when we were standing at the altar and I was crying on our wedding day, it was because God reminded me of that moment. And he told me to he never wanted me to forget that if there was somebody, if that was a vessel that he was using, that was his vessel, that was his daughter, that was somebody that was special to him. So for me not to handle her carelessly, for me to understand that that was somebody precious to him. And so when he spoke it into my spirit, he said, yes, I'm trusting you with my daughter. And that changed how I viewed love, marriage, and women all together. Because I didn't recognize it before then. It was only then that I recognized that not only was she his daughter, but every woman was his daughter, even the ones that I had mishandled. And so that was the revelation for me.
And you know, what's powerful is that while you saw something beautiful externally, look, because I know I looked good externally.
And you still do.
Thank you. I was still carrying wounds, plenty of wounds internally.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I wrote that particular quote that says, oftentimes the most precious gifts are the most fragile. You know, some people look whole on the outside while they're bleeding on the inside. Mm-mm-mm. You know, and many women have become experts at functioning while wounded.
My God. Lord have mercy. I just, when you said that, I'm sorry, I went back to thinking about when I did play the piano. And I played at various churches, just like the Ebenezer Church. And the night before, or even the moment before, I was hurt by somebody that I was dating or, you know, fooling around with that I had no business. And they hurt me so bad, but I knew how to put the scene on, the smile, playing, all of that, while all the time I was miserable. So, you know, you got to think about what is damaged goods, right? So I want to address the phrase itself, because some people hear the title, damaged goods, and immediately react emotionally. Like, you know, what do you mean by that?
And you know, and that's the thing, you know, I meant that many women have been mishandled emotionally, spiritually, physically, verbally, sexually, and that effect, and the effects of that damage continue showing up in relationships, self-esteem, trust, and identity. And the reality is abuse is abuse.
Yes, it is.
Whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical, verbal, or sexual, abuse is abuse. Emotional abuse can leave scars that are just as deep as physical abuse. Manipulation leaves damage. Rejection leaves damage. Abandonment leaves damage. Being lied to leaves damage. And many women began making relationship decisions based on wounds instead of their worth.
That's good. That's good. And excuse me, one thing the book says that really stands out is you began to look at the person you are currently with through the mistakes of the one who hurt you. That's so real.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, I did that. Hurt people often develop survival patterns that sabotage healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's why healing is so important.
Yeah.
Because if you don't heal, eventually you'll punish safe people for wounds created by unsafe people.
So, you know, we got to wonder, you know, why do women stay in these constant cycles, right? So one of the major themes in the book is what? Cycles. So we got to ask ourselves, you know, why? Why? Why do so many women repeat unhealthy relationship patterns? And that's repeat. Rinse, repeat, repeat.
Because damage affects perception. Mm-hmm. Many women subconsciously accept mistreatment because they don't believe they deserve better. You know, some have watched unhealthy relationships growing up. Mm-hmm. Some have never seen healthy love modeled. Some were taught to survive instead of heal. And then society reinforces the lie that a woman is incomplete without a man. You know, one of the most popular movies in society, especially amongst feminine circles, was Waiting to Exhale. And you remember Whitney Houston's mama was telling her, you know, he's a good man. And that man wasn't worth nothing. But she kept trying to tell her, like, she needed a man, regardless of his qualities, regardless of his caliber, that she needed to compromise herself just so she would not be by herself. Mm. Layla Rashawn in there, she was kept compromising herself so she wouldn't be by herself.
She was Robin, I think, the character Robin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like they just kept portraying these cycles. And that was that whole cycle. It was just like they just kept showing these patterns, and these are realistic patterns. These are not patterns I made up. These are patterns that were so prevalent that they made a movie about it to show them this. And so many women they never even acknowledged that that was the case. They got so caught up in the movie, mm-hmm. of burning up the man's car, and I mean, you know, and the campfire moments, that they never really acknowledged that this is an actual pattern that we struggle with.
And Terry McMillan wrote the book.
Exactly, because she was still stuck in her own patterns.
Her own struggle.
And so she never actually dealt with the fact that this is an actual pattern that we have that we don't know how to break. Mm-hmm. And so instead of healing, many of them go from relationship to relationship because they're afraid of being alone. But one of the greatest revelations that God gave me was this: you are complete in him.
So good.
Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this: and you are complete in him. I've told women for years, Jesus is all the man you'll ever need. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't ordain marriage. It means your identity cannot depend on another human being.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to get that in your spirit. You got to understand that, because you will never have a successful, healthy relationship with anybody else until you have a successful, healthy relationship with the Lord.
That is so true.
Because I've seen so many young women that get to that place in life where they feel like their biological clock is ticking, they're all their friends around them, they're getting married, they're in relationships, and then they start looking at themselves, trying to figure out what's wrong with them, and they start going through these cycles where they're constantly being frustrated. Why me? And why am I not? And this and that, and this and that. And the thing that I always tell them, God can't give you a relationship until you've settled your relationship with him, because otherwise you will make that person your God.
Make him an idol. Yeah.
And God has a hard and fast rule. This is what we don't understand, and I need you to understand this. Anything you put before God, God will move. God is now obligated to destroy anything that exalts itself before him. The Bible says he's a jealous God. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. If Pastor Stephanie had somebody that she was putting before me, how you think I'm going to deal with him? I'm just a man. Because jealousy brings out wrath.
Ugly. Yeah.
So if I'm a man and I get jealous and it brings out my wrath, how do you think God's going to handle his jealousy? So there's nothing that can withstand God's wrath. So anything that you put before God is going to become the subject of his wrath.
Yeah.
So we wonder how we have a relationship that we put before God and why it can't stand. Mm-hmm. We have a job, we have a car, we have whatever this thing is that we've placed before God, and then it cannot sustain, it cannot survive, because God's job at that point is to murder the competition.
Wow.
Plain and simple. God said, there's nothing that can stand before me.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, so you got to recognize, first of all, I have to always put God first. So there's nothing that becomes a threat to my relationship with him. And so once I do that, he's a full supporter. And that's how we really get into that place of having a healthy relationship. You also cannot become, the Bible says the two will become one flesh. You can't become one when you are only a half. Because it says the two become one. It didn't say the halves become a whole. It says the two become one. That's what you have to understand. It requires two to become one. Not point fives. And that's what we have to get. We have to get that.
Yeah.
Watch this. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. One pair of shoes is comprised of two shoes, two totally whole shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had two half of shoes, you still only have one shoe.
Wow.
Yeah. So you cannot be a half of a person, come together with a half of a person. Y'all still need a whole nother shoe.
That's good.
See, that's the concept. We have to get that. Because, see, we've been thinking, oh, well, see, it's half of me and half of him, and then that's how we become one. No. You still a whole shoe left. And that's why you feel like you feel, because you're walking around with only one shoe on. Walking around with a limp. Walking around and your foot hurting all the time because one foot is bare. You're uncovered. Because that's the problem. But that's why when you're in your relationship with God, he can make you whole. When he's in the got a relationship with God, he becomes whole. And now y'all come together. Now y'all are a pair, a whole pair. And now you are healthy when you walk together.
Mm-hmm. You know, I even was thinking when you were talking about half a shoe, you know, of course, people are dealing with alternative lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine a shoe.
Two left shoes.
Two heels.
Two left shoes. Think about that. two left shoes. You got two left shoes, and that's why your feet hurt.
Ah, Jesus. Or two,
two right shoes. That's not a good situation.
One of my friends said, I don't trust nothing with two heads. So,
exactly.
Anywho. So you spend a large portion of the book talking about worth,
mm-hmm,
and the importance of understanding the Father's love. Why is that foundational?
Because women who don't know their worth settle beneath it. The proverb letter says in Proverbs 31 and 10, it says her worth is far above rubies. But many women never learn their value because their sense of worth was damaged through unhealthy relationships with their fathers or father figures. And if your earthly father was absent, abusive, neglectful, critical, or emotionally unavailable, it can distort how you see yourself and what treatment you accept. But the good news is you have a heavenly father now. Yeah. See, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." If God gave Jesus for us, then your value must be immeasurable.
And one of the strongest revelations in the book is, ladies, listen to this. You can't love a man until you learn how to love you. And you'll never learn how to love you until you learn how to love your father. Break that down.
Well, Matthew 22, Jesus says that he gives us the order for love. Yeah. He says, love God first, then love your neighbor as yourself. The problem is many people try loving others before they've ever learned healthy self-worth through their relationship with God. So they become emotionally dependent, approval addicted, and identity confused. I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
They become emotionally dependent, approval addicted, and identity confused. But once you spend time with your heavenly Father in prayer, in worship, in his word, you begin seeing yourself differently. See, you stop tolerating things that are beneath your value. You stop confusing attention with love. You stop begging for what your father already said you deserve.
I love that when you stop confusing attention with love. How many women do we know or have encountered that are attention seekers? I mean, I know plenty. And because of that, they always end up in a relationship that is not fulfilled, that's not God ordained, and that the enemy is just having a good old field day because you are trying to get the attention of somebody that doesn't deserve it, you know? So another part of the book that I love is when you begin to talk about forgiveness and healing. So, you know, it's that the book just doesn't oversimplify healing. You know, you just can't tell people, just get over it. Keep it moving, you know. You talk about prayer, fasting, forgiveness, counseling, and renewing the mind. You got to get the right counselor too, by the way.
Absolutely. And that's because healing is a process.
Yep.
Forgiveness is not just pretending something didn't hurt. Sometimes people say they forgive, but they're really just walking in buried resentment. They're really just trying to put up this facade and they're actually in denial. And the true test is this. When that person's name comes up, does the pain still control you? Hear me now. Now, painful thoughts may still arise occasionally. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So you cannot allow those thoughts to control you. See, when somebody brings up that person, and you start to have that painful thought. Now, does it ruin your day? Does it take your whole mood? Does it take you out of character? Then at that point, that pain is controlling you. So you've not taken that thought captive. That thought has you captive. See, healing requires consistency, prayer, fasting, the word, proper spiritual connection, and sometimes counseling. Sometimes you need somebody to help you process the feelings. They need to help you recognize. That's the purpose of counseling. Get this. Counseling is not just for you to sit there and whine. I'm going to say it like it is.
And that was a counselor.
Because that's what some people think counseling is. It's just, right. just for you to just keep sitting there whining about it. Because even after a while, even though you're paying them, your counselor don't want to hear that. They'll sit there. You're not even paying no attention. They got earplugs on. They drawing on their notepad. They're not even taking notes no more. Because they get tired of hearing you keep talking about the same thing over and you're not making any progress. Mm-hmm. You're not applying any of the principles they're telling you. Their purpose is to help you process the feelings. Because that's the problem. The feelings now have control of you and they're trying to tell you how to flip that. Mm-hmm. How to take those feelings. How to take them captive, how to work through them mm-hmm. so that they no longer have the same effect on you. Mm-hmm. But if you're not utilizing that, then all you're doing is going through a cycle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And even where the scripture talks about we take captive every thought. One of the other things, if you have an effective, trained counselor, they will help you look at your stinking thinking. They will help you look at those thoughts that the enemy has distorted and caused you to believe a lie instead of actually believing the truth of God's word. So, you know, you've got to pay attention not only what type of counselor you get, y'all, but your spiritual connection. And Pastor Tuck talks about that heavily in the book. And he talks about why where you are planted spiritually matters.
Absolutely. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Healing environments matter. See, women need healthy spiritual examples. They need to see what godly marriage looks like. They need spiritual mothers and fathers who genuinely care about their restoration and not their exploitation. Ooh. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time.
I felt that one right there.
Jesus. They need spiritual mothers and fathers uh-huh. who genuinely care about their restoration and not their exploitation.
Yes, God.
Mm. Let me park right here for a second. Like I said, I've been pastoring for 23 years. Just about as long as my youngest daughter's been alive. My oldest daughter was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I started preaching when she was one. So all they have ever known mm-hmm. is me as their spiritual covering, mm-hmm. as well as their father. Yeah. And to show you how important something like this is, I was having this conversation with both of them. Matter of fact, this week we've had these conversations. When we talk relationships, as a father, my job is to cover them naturally until the day that God sends their spouse. And at that point, I transfer responsibility of covering over to them. Wow. And I have to feel that he's competent, trustworthy to cover them because that's my responsibility is to cover them. Look at what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives like Christ did the church. Mm-hmm. He's the covering. Yeah. And so my job is to do just that for my children until they have a husband that steps in and does that. Mm. Well, watch this. Mm. Well, what are pastors called to do? He said, "I'll give you pastor after my own heart."
Yeah.
Who is Christ to the church? He's the husband of the church. Y'all gonna catch it in a minute. Yeah. So if I'm gonna give you somebody that has a heart for you like I have, I'm going to have to give you somebody who's going to love on you like your husband. Talking about the church in Christ.
Yeah.
So you have to have a pastor that's going to cover you like Christ does.
Yes.
That's going to be sacrificial in his mindset. It's going to have a covering. He's going to want your best interest. Yes. He's got to have a heart for you like God.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So watch this now. So like I said, I've been the same thing for my children. I've been their father and their spiritual covering and their natural covering. And just like I'm not going to hand them over to anybody in the natural, I'm not going to hand them over to anybody in the spirit.
My God, my God.
And see, I have been blessed in this season because they've not yet got married. They've not yet had somebody in the natural for me to hand them over. So I'm still their natural covering.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them now have spiritual Jesus. Mothers and fathers.
Yes.
That I have been pleasured, had the pleasure and the honor to be able to say that those are men and women of God that I can now trust to hand you over to spiritually. Because I recognize the importance of that connection. People who genuinely care about their restoration and not their exploitation.
Oh, Jesus.
People who have godly marriages.
Yeah.
Because that's all they've seen growing up. Mm-hmm. So they knew what to look for when they were looking for them. The same way they know how to look for a husband and know how to judge a husband when God sends them, because they've already seen what a godly husband and father looks like in their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, so that's the reason why these things are so important.
And, you know, even with you talking about you being the head and the covering, again, I'm your helpmeet, right? So I know, and I've prayed that I've taught my girls, you know, how to be a submitted yet powerful wife, you know. And, you know, just the way the spiritual mothers that they have right now, I mean, they are just the epitome of what I wanted for them as women. Because you have to have a woman that's going to dig right in with you and tell you when you're right and tell you when you're wrong, you know, groom you and mold you into what God wants you to be. And the thing I love about their sets of spiritual parents is they don't have a hesitate to tell them if they're going in the wrong direction. They say it in love, they don't fuss or whatever. But our girls, because they were obedient to him and obedient to me, they know how to listen.
They're submitted.
Yeah.
They are submitted because there's no need in God giving you parents for you to be disobedient to.
Yeah.
To not submit.
That's right.
See, I say this carefully, but honestly.
Hmm.
Church was designed to change your life.
Yeah.
And if your environment is not helping you heal, grow, mature, and renew your mind, you need to seek God about where you are connected.
That's right.
Because you may have placed yourself somewhere mm-hmm. instead of him planting you. I'm going to say that one more time. You may have placed yourself somewhere based on your preference than allowing God to plant you somewhere. And that is one of the most important decisions of your life, because it will dictate the direction of your prosperity.
That's right.
In every area.
Success, yep.
So that is absolute importance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I deal with that in the scriptures. In the book, because it's one of those decisions that not many people are taught. We're taught, well, I'm going to go over this church because I like their choir. Really? Well, what's going to happen when you're having trouble in your relationship? Is the choir going to sing you out of it?
Jesus, Jesus. You know, even the traditional church, I'm not going on the Sunday when the senior choir is singing. I'm going to go when the junior choir is singing. So you saying you just going to go once a month?
You know,
mm-hmm.
we make decisions based on things and we don't understand the importance. You need somewhere where there is somebody there that can direct your life
mm-hmm.
and help you become what you're supposed to become. Because what you don't understand, we do all these other things. We look for people to mentor us in our business life and this life and that life, this, that, this and that. But everything in your life starts in first who you are, which is built on your relationship with the Lord. But we don't take our relationship or where we're planted in the place that's supposed to develop that relationship seriously. Watch this. We take it so serious where we go to school, whether that's where our kids are going to school, where they go daycare. We want the best daycares for them. We want the best elementary schools for them. We want them to go to the best college because we're concerned about how they develop in academically, mm-hmm. intelligence.
Yep.
But we're not worried about who they are in their character and how they're developing spiritually, because that's going to develop their identity.
My God.
Because all of the other issues that we worry about come out of those things that are underdeveloped. Then the relationship, all of those things come out of the fact that we put them in the wrong environments in the first place.
God.
And so now we're trying to correct the issues because we weren't in the right environment in the first place. So we're constantly playing cleanup. If we had put them in the right environment in the first place, mm-hmm. we put ourselves in the right environment, because that environment is helped to build us. When we choose our relationships, it teaches us how to make those proper choices. Mm-hmm. Then it helps us build this. So then when we have family, it helps us build that. Yeah. And everything else comes out of that, because our entire life prosperity, our entire life success comes out of family. Because if you look at the world, how was it built? God built the two individuals he made, mm-hmm. and then he built the family. Mm-hmm. And then the family, the church, and out of the church, the world. Mm. That's how everything was built. But we've gotten so backwards that the church is the last thing on the list, because we don't understand the importance. But if we could ever get back to following the blueprint. Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's why this is such an important concept that we're talking about here, yeah. because we're talking about trying to fix brokenness. And it starts with first fixing the relationship with the Lord, because that'll help me recognize who I am. And once I get that part right, then I can build a relationship. And then if I get that part right, because I'm in the right place, I can build that relationship. That's going to help me make all the right decisions there. It'll help me raise my kids right. It'll help me make the right decisions, because I've got the right counsel around me. And all of the things in my life will be get better, constantly better, constantly better. And then God will get out of me the things that he desired in me for the rest of the world. And that's why we got to get this.
And, you know, now I want to shift into another message connected to this journey called You Are Stronger Than You Think, because many women watching tonight feel overwhelmed. Single mothers, divorced women, women carrying homes emotionally and financially. You know, what would you say to them, Pastor Tuck?
I would tell them that God revealed to me years ago, you are stronger than you think. Mm-hmm. Society often defines strength physically, but God defines strength spiritually. Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, verse 29, he says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Mm-hmm. See, some women have survived things that would have broken other people completely. You raised children while wounded. You worked while grieving. You smiled while depressed.
Man.
You prayed while you were struggling. You loved while healing. Mm-hmm. That's strength.
And I loved how you address the misunderstanding of the weaker vessel.
Oh, that's amazing, because, you know, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 doesn't say women are inferior. Mm-hmm. It teaches husbands to honor them properly. He says, be careful how you live with your wife, honoring her as the weaker vessel. And I have to tell people that. I said, if you look at it, that means the most delicate, more delicate, not weaker as inferior, but as more delicate. Your heart is the most delicate muscle in your body, but it's the most vital. And so if you recognize that, you treat it as such, you can't live without your heart. Your heart stops working, everything stops. And it's a muscle just like your thigh muscle, just like your bicep, but you can't treat it the same. See, I can punch you in your arm and you'll just say, ow, I punch you in your heart. You're gonna stop living. Mm. So you can't handle it callously. Right. You've got to honor it. You have to treat it different. That's why it's built, your body's built the way it is. That's why you got ribs around it to protect it. It's got a protective covering. Yeah. Why? Because it's weaker, because it's more delicate, mm-hmm. but it's also more vital. Yes. It's given a preferential treatment. And that's how you're supposed to treat your wife. You're supposed to treat her delicately. But that's what we have to understand. That's what it's saying about you.
And not only, you know, wives, again, you know, I always tell my daughters, I want you to be the good thing. You know, a man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing in favor with the Lord. So, you know, by being that good thing, men need to learn how to value the woman's heart, even in single life. Mm-hmm. You know, timing is everything.
Everything.
Yep. Go ahead. Say something. Oh. All right. So for the woman watching tonight saying, I need healing, but I don't know where to start. What are some of the first steps, Pastor Tuck?
Well, first, be honest with God. Stop pretending you're okay. You got to first identify the damage. Mm-hmm. Name the wound. Name the pattern. You know, you've got to be honest about it. Stop normalizing unhealthy treatment. Mm-hmm. Love does not abuse. Love does not manipulate. Number four, spend time alone with God. Learn who you are outside of relationships. I'm going to say that one again.
Yeah, that one's real good.
I talk heavily about that in this book. Spend time alone with God. You got to learn to be comfortable with just you before you keep trying to put somebody with you. Mm-hmm. Learn who you are outside of a relationship. Yeah. Number five, renew your mind with the word. Romans 12 and 12 says transformation comes through renewed thinking.
Yep.
So you got to change how you think. Get properly connected spiritually. I just talked about that, how important it is to have the right covering, to be in the right house, to have the right spiritual parents, to have the right people pouring into you. Because healing grows in healthy environments. Number seven, stop rushing relationships. Many people are lonely, but not healed. So you're rushing into a relationship with somebody because they're alone, but not realizing they're actually lonely.
That's a big difference.
But they're not healed.
Right.
So you're just inviting another problem into your life. Number eight, learn boundaries. Forgiveness and access are not always the same.
That's so true. You know, you have to control the gate.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you need to put up a wall, because emotional walls will keep you from being fulfilled by a relationship that God has designed for you, ladies. So, you know, just remember that. You know, it's okay to cover the gate when you need to, but don't build a wall. So, now 17 years later, I can't believe it. I mean, honestly, y'all, I just so happened to picked the book up and looked at it and saw the copyright there. I said, honey, It's the anniversary of the book. Okay? So it's 17 years later.
You know, and it's so crazy because it just so happened that the Lord had already put in my spirit to work on an audio book. And so when she actually said that it was the 17th anniversary was coming up, I was like, man, it really started putting a fire on me because I've been working on it, but it really, and so for the past couple months, I've been really digging in to trying to complete this project by the actual anniversary date. It really put a deadline on me as far as trying to get it done. And like I said, it took a lot of work to actually get this done.
Yeah,
but it was amazing for me because it did a couple of things. First of all, because we're in a season where a lot of people don't read books anymore. They don't pick up paper anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's on devices now. Everybody's watching programs, podcasts. Everybody's listening. Everybody's on the computer. Everybody's on the phones. Everybody's, you know, electronic. Everything is electronic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and 17 years later, like I said, when I wrote this book, a lot of people were kids. You know, a lot of the young people out here are kids, and they're now in relationships. A lot of people have gone through so much damage now. And you know, in this age where everybody's dealing with mental health and all these kinds of things, and so there's so much more hurt in the world now. And so I was excited because, for one, it's going to expose a whole new generation to this healing product. You know, for so many people who may not have ever known the story behind this book, this is a book that I didn't write. The Lord wrote this book. And just to share the testimony, you know, this book was birthed out of, like you said, our personal journey experience, but so many things, you know, kind of led to this book. You know, Pastor Stephanie, as she shared so many times on Women of Worth, she was sexually abused at 6 years old and emotionally abused, you know, throughout, you know, as a result of some of the esteem issues and things of that nature, like you said, making poor choices and things of that nature. But when we got married, our first year of marriage was great. And almost to the year, you know, it was like the floodgates came with all of her trauma. And I didn't know where it came from. And she couldn't articulate it. It just showed up. It just knocked on the door one day and walked in. And I didn't have a translator. I didn't have anybody to tell me what was going on but the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord had to tell me because I just literally woke up one day with a stranger in my bed. And the Lord had to tell me, literally guided me through.
Thank you, Lord.
Loving her.
Thank you, Lord.
Through this process. And as he was guiding me through loving her through this process, he was actually showing me some of the things that I had done over the years to hurt people. And I wasn't even aware. Just by being callous, just by being a man, just doing things that society we just think are trivial. And so it gave me so much revelation. And like I said, it was years later and I'm pastoring, I'm in ministry, and we had written a vision for our church. And I remember even writing a vision for our first church when we birthed church. He had in the vision statement that I was to write books, and English is the one subject I despised in school. So when you say I was writing books, I hated writing. I was an electrical engineer. I mean, math, science, all that stuff, I could do that in my sleep. But I absolutely despised writing and reading and all that. And I'm like, no. And so it's so crazy because when he told me it was time, I literally, the day that he told me to start, I literally got a pit. I got a legal pad, set it beside the bed. Mm-hmm. I remember I prayed. I went to sleep that night. I got up the next morning and I just started writing.
Yeah.
And I remember I wrote for like hours. It was just like, and I was like a zombie writing. And I like wrote for like hours and hours and hours.
I wake up and there's pens and pencils in the bed.
Y'all. And it's like, I would write until I was done. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a dump. And it was like, and when I would come out of it and I would sit to the side and I would go and get me something to eat or do whatever. And then I would come back and I would just type up everything that I wrote. And then I would lay it on her pillow. I didn't even go back and read it because I didn't even read what I wrote. And I would leave it on her pillow and then she'd come home and then she would read it. And she'd be like, "Ooh, this is good." And I just sit it aside. Mm-hmm. And I literally did the whole book like that. It was just like, it was like cruise control. It was just like everything. He was just giving it to me. And I was just scribing. It was like, I was literally like a scribe.
Thank God I could read his handwriting.
And it was so crazy because once he said it was done, I went back and organized everything, put the chapters in order, gave the chapter titles. I went and did the little in-between stuff. And I remember calling a publisher. And I remember asking the publisher, I think at the beginning of the process, I asked, how long would it take to publish a book? And they told me it would take 7 to 10 weeks once they had approved my manuscript. And so they said, once we've got a finished, edited, fully approved manuscript, after that takes about 7 to 10 weeks. Well, from the first day that I picked up a pen, when he told me start writing, until the day of me literally holding copy of the book in my hand, finished copy of the book in my hand, it was 66 days. So that wasn't even 7 to 10 weeks.
No.
In that, just from that point to that point, and it was supposed to be 7 to 10 weeks from the time I finished, it was literally from the time I picked up a pen, 66 mm-hmm. days. And so that's why I say there's no way possible that I had anything to do with writing this book. All I did was just put out what God gave me. And so I've always been amazed at the power that God has used to change lives through this book. I've gotten letters from people in prison that I still don't, to this day, have no clue how they got the book, don't know who they were. I've had total strangers walk up to me in the bookstore and tell me that, you know, I remember I was literally taking some books to a bookstore one day, and literally I was going to a place that was no more than 10 miles away that I had been to 1,000 times over, and some kind of way I make a turn and I go 40 miles the wrong direction before I realize I'm going the wrong way. And this is in a city that I know and I've been living in all my life. And I'm like, how in the world did I do this? I'm talking on streets that I've driven down all my life. I'm like, I literally went 40 miles the wrong direction. So I'm now on what should have been a 10-mile journey. I take a 50-mile journey because I go 40 miles one way. No, 30 miles. No, actually a 70-mile journey because I go 30 miles, have to now go 30 miles back, and now 10 miles. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the store to carry the books in there, I get there and somebody had just walked in the store the same time I did, and they had one of their daughters. They had just committed them to a hospital for attempting suicide, and they were in the bookstore talking to the person in the bookstore trying to find
the right
book for them. And I overheard the conversation. And God said, go give them the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there just frustrated, like, how in the world did I sit and do this? I done wasted all this time. But it's just like all these different things that have happened as a result of this book over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had story after story. I could do this all day behind this book. And so when the Lord told me that I needed to make it an audio book, I was like, okay. And, you know, and we've got the intention of making our other book an audio book as well. And I wanted to make an audio book even back then, but it was like, I didn't have the equipment. I ain't had the time, didn't have the money to sit back and sit there, and didn't think I had the patience to sit back and read a book and, you know, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And so it's so crazy. But now with all of the new technology, and I started researching it, mm-hmm, and even then, like I said, it wasn't like, you know, you push a button and it's done. So it's been, like I said, months of me researching and trying to figure it out and everything else. But I literally have been able to do an audio book, mm-hmm, and I've actually been able to do it. And the way I did it was so awesome because the book is narrated using my AI voice clone.
Yeah.
And so it is so amazing. And I know some people are like, that's crazy. That don't even sound right, Pastor. Well, I want to let you all get a chance to see what that's like. So take a listen.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I'm Pastor Tuck's AI voice clone. And I am the voice you will hear if you purchase a copy of Damaged Goods, The Restoring Power of the Father's Love, 17th Anniversary Edition. Trust me, you'll be blessed. Hear this wonderful, life-changing revelation in Pastor Tuck's very own voice. This powerful audiobook will truly change your life.
Now, that just blew my mind the first time I heard it and listened to it, because like I said, it's literally my preaching voice, my teaching voice. It's like, and so it's literally like hearing me read the book. And so Pastor Stephanie and I, we were listening to it the other night as we were about to upload it into the system and get everything set up, and sitting there and listening to, and it's like, it's blowing my mind, because I'm like, that sound like I literally preached this. Like, I literally taught this message, and it's like, but I didn't. But it sounded like I did, because it sounded like it's me, and it's me listening to that. And so it's like, it's crazy. But that's the thing that's so amazing. And so now 17 years later, here we are with Damaged Goods being re-released as an audio book. And right now, like I said, we have it. It's going to be on all of the major platforms. The first one that's going to be available on is a platform called 11 Labs. And it may be available on there right now. It was on there a little earlier today. I had to take it down because I wanted to rearrange the last couple of chapters, and so I did that. And so right now it's going back through the process. So you'll probably be able to go on there probably by midnight tonight. You'll probably be able to go on there and get it. But it's called 11 Labs, mm-hmm, like the word 11, E-L-E-V-E-N, Labs. And just search for the title, Damaged Goods, and you'll be able to find it. I'll also put the link in the comments, mm-hmm, where you'll be able to go back and get it. But I'm telling you, this is going to bless your life.
And quickly, what I wanted to say, y'all, was how dedicated Pastor Tuck is. You know, when Pastor Tuck sets his mind to something, he's going to finish it. And literally, he worked 48 hours with no sleep to make sure that the book was prepared for perfection. He didn't miss a turn. He didn't miss a beat. And, you know, he does that, y'all. When he is passionate about something, he won't rest until God says, okay, it's good, son, you can release. It's good, son, you can finish. So, you know, y'all, this is just like not an audio book that like was just done by a blink of an eye. His heart and soul went into the book in paper form. But his heart and soul has gone into this audiobook. You know, I just had to say that because I feel like people need to know this.
Praise God. Like I said, well, this is the new cover for the 17th anniversary edition. Like I said, and it's we're excited about it, and we're excited it's going to change lives. Like I said, because this message needs to reach a new generation. Mm-hmm. Some people will never sit down and read the book, But they will listen while driving, while working, while exercising, while sitting alone at night, trying to hold themselves together emotionally. And honestly, hearing these words spoken carries another level of impact. And actually hearing it in my voice, yeah. I think really, really does something. Like I said, I know it was really impacting me being able to hear it like me teaching it. And my prayer is that people don't just hear my voice, but I pray they hear the Father calling them back to wholeness.
Well, Pastor Tuck, before we close, I want you to speak directly to the women that are watching tonight.
To every woman watching, I want you to remember that you are not your abuse. You are not your rejection. You are not your divorce. You are not your mistakes. You are not your past. You are God's daughter. And your Father has never stopped loving you. And he never will. You can never forget how valuable, how much you mean to the Father. You may have been wounded, but you are not worthless.
My God.
You may have been damaged, but you are not discarded. You may have been mishandled, but you are still precious to God. Remember, Joel says, let the weak say I am strong. Paul tells us in the Philippian letter, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want every woman watching tonight to understand you are stronger than you think.
Amen.
And so I just want you to do me a favor. Go out and get a copy. Buy a copy for somebody for Mother's Day. Yep. Like I said, buy your friends a copy. Like I said, and trust me, this is not for me. All the proceeds
right.
going to the ministry.
Yep.
Like I said, I've never been one of those. Like I said, everything I do for the Lord.
He sends it right back into the kingdom.
The Lord takes care of us. Yeah. But this is why we do this, mm-hmm. because we want to see lives change. I want to see lives change. This is not about me being famous. Trust me. If that was the case, I'd still be out here trying to get preaching engagements. Like I said, I'm this ain't got nothing to do with me. This is about the Lord getting lives changed, touching people's lives. And that's all we want. We want to see women made whole. Because when women are whole, they can have better relationships. When those relationships are whole, we can have better families. When those families are whole, the world gets better.
Yeah.
The churches get better.
Generations
get better. Everything is better.
Yeah.
But it starts there. Because trust me, a man can't mistreat you if you don't let him.
My God, that was powerful. And, you know, I thank you, honey, for what you say. But as my pastor, I thank you for sharing this powerful conversation. You know, I thank everyone, every lady out there that has joined us today for a special Mother's Day edition of Women of Worth. And, you know, you can also go back and watch this, y'all, on the My Church channel. And it has the segment Women of Worth. You can click on it if you missed it or if you didn't get all of it, okay? So that you can sit there and really hear what the heart of this pastor is showing through the HeartNet book. So be sure to get the newly released 17th anniversary audio edition of Damaged Goods, The Restoring Power of the Father's Love, now available through 11 Labs and other major audiobook platforms. And remember this tonight, your pain is not your identity. Your past is not your destiny. And your healing begins when you discover how much you mean to the Father. So, happy Mother's Day from all of us in My Church Virtual Ministries and the My Church channel. And good night, ladies. God bless each and every one of you.
Now, if you've been blessed by this broadcast or any of our ministries here at My Church channel, and you would like to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, and you want to help us continue to do that, you can sow a financial seed. You can do that using Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or you can visit our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a financial seed. We've got all kinds of faith-based content available. We've got 3 opportunities to worship every Sunday morning. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Dr. Russell and Yuvita Cash. Mm-hmm. We've got The Leadership Academy. We've got Women of Worth. We've got The Man Cave. We've got Marriage Seer Training. We've got The Heart of the Pastor. Mm-hmm. Then every week on Tuesday, we've got Medicine for the Mind. Mm-hmm. We've even got stand-up comedy specials. We've got My Church Laughs. But we've got all the tools to help continue to help you grow, to help fortify your faith. Yeah. We just want to help build you up in the body so you'll be a better believer for whatever place that God has planted you. So if you want to help us continue to do that, sow a financial seed. Help us continue to do what God's called us to do. Mm-hmm. And like I said, be a blessing to somebody. Get a copy of this book. Show it into somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. Get it for yourself. Get this revelation in your heart. Because trust me, it's going to help you grow and be better. But we love you tonight, ladies. Make sure you share us with somebody you know. Oh, yeah. Like I said, it's available on 11 Labs. It's going to be available on all the other major platforms here shortly. Like I said, it's already been submitted. We're just going to take a couple of days. Like I said, like Pastor Stephanie said, I've been up the past couple of days without sleep trying to get it done just for the anniversary launch. But like I said, it's going to be available on Audible, Spotify for Authors, like I said, Amazon, all of the places. Yeah. But like I said, just want you to go out, get your copy. We love you. We'll see you soon. Yeah. Stay tuned for our announcements. God bless you. I'm Pastor Tuck, and we'll see you soon. Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and Spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted. Chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
The scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.